Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 212, and it's September 3rd. And on this edition, we have some classic radio shows for you. But first, let me say hello to my co-host, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Miss Wolf?
What's
or Mrs.
up,
Wolf?
Mr. Amari.
Yeah, what's up, Dimply?
Everything's great.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Thanks, you too.
In the booth, Shante Garth, our producer, and we have classic radio all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to begin with the Jack Benny program from March 4th, 1951, Going to the Dentist. Then we have Dr. Christian from 1938 with The Flood, starring Gene Herschelt. And then The Shadow from 1940 with A Plot That Failed, starring Bill Johnstone. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. Dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming sports movie, Battle of the Sexes, based on the 1973 tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs.
Wow, yeah, that's going to be good. I remember watching that on television.
I remember watching it as
well. It was the first
time match,
a guy played a girl.
I remember.
And I believe she won.
I was rooting for the girl all the way.
Yeah, I believe she won.
So the winner gets two tickets to the 39 Steps, which is playing at the Mackinac Art Center in Glen Ellyn.
Okay, now here's a hint. This actress was the number one income grossing star.
The
we
world's
just
highest,
about
paid
highest paid
is
actress
what you mean.
For this
for Forbes for 2017.
My goodness, yeah,
and
that's a lot of money.
She
made millions,
as well.
And she's a gorgeous girl. Also, here's a clip of her in La La Land.
I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
All right, who is that great actress? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Win some tickets to the 39 Steps. We'll find our winner right after these words.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater Show 212 in our series. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
What? Let's talk to Carrie. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you. Who is that attractive actress, as Carl says?
That is Emma Stone.
Emma Stone is exactly right. And I hope that you love a little Hitchcock. We're going to send you to the 39 Steps, playing September 7th through October 8th at the Mackinac Art Center in Glen Ellyn. This is the Buffalo Theater Ensemble's production based on Alfred Hitchcock's 1935.
Are you buffaloing me on this?
I'm buffaloing you all the way.
Sure. Carrie, do you believe her? Don't believe Lisa. Trust me on this.
These
I've known
are great
her a long
tickets.
Time.
That I can tell you, they do a great job there. There's four actors. They play 50 characters. It's going to be an awesome show. You can get tickets at themac.org. But of course, you won them here today. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thanks, Carrie.
Before we get started, I do want to remind everybody the competition has begun.
Oh,
the 1975 Music Challenge is on. We have some texts. Nobody has them quite right yet. A lot of great guesses, second choices, definitely, but no first choices and no right answers. You are welcome to continue to text. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Carl and I and Roger have all chosen our favorite songs of 1975. If you'd like to guess and win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set, send in your text in to our text in line, which is 312-981-7200. Guess away. And if you don't hear back from me, it means it's not right. If you do hear back, it will be in a matter of within a minute, and I will text you and let you know that you've won.
Right. When you guess a song, make sure you say this is Lisa's song, this is Roger's song, or this is Carl's song.
No correct guesses so far.
Wow. All right.
So we're going to keep plugging away.
So, yeah, that text in line again is 312-981-7200. Win some Twilight Zone CDs. Guess our favorite song. And if you're like, well, how do I know what songs are from 1975? Just Google top songs of 1975, right? You'll get a whole list.
Yeah, you can look at the top 100 Billboard list. Yeah. But if you know us, you'll probably have some really good guesses
probably
just from our
out.
Personalities.
All right, and we'll play the songs as people guess them.
And we never agree with each other.
Right.
We just don't. So
no.
that's the fun of the game.
Oh, that's right. All right, we're going to start things off with probably the most successful, most famous and the most beloved American entertainer of the 20th century, Jack Benny. He was born right here in Chicago, grew up in Waukegan, Illinois, and he was on the radio from 1932 all the way to 1955. He played a fictional version of himself, Jack Benny, the radio, TV, film star. Now, the plots on these radio episodes revolved around Benny's persona of a cheap, vain, insecure, untalented braggart who was never older than 39. His real-life wife, Mary Livingston, played sort of his girlfriend on the show. And then he was surrounded by his foils, Phil Harris, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Dennis Day, Don Wilson. He made a transition to television in 1950. That series, Lisa, lasted 15 years on television. Very successful comedian, Jack Benny. We're going to go back to March 4th, 1951. He is going to the dentist. Here's part one of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. The program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's house in Beverly Hills. I know he's home because his car is in the garage. Now, if you just follow me, we'll go in and pay Jack a visit.
And you needn't ask me to leave, because you're going to sit there and listen to what I've got to say.
Uh-oh, better not go in. Seems to be some sort of a commotion going on.
I haven't told you half what's on my mind. And believe me, I'm talking for everybody in this neighborhood. Why, when you first moved in, we thought you were a nice, gentle, kindly old man. But before we knew it, you had the mortgages on all our houses. Oh, I don't blame you for not saying anything. All you can do is sit there with your mouth open. And why? Because even you know that that last trick you pulled was the cheapest, most abominable thing anybody ever did. Imagine putting a woman with seven children out on the sidewalk because she missed one payment.
Rochester, turn off that radio.
Yes.
You have just heard another episode in that thrilling story, The Mean Old Man. In tomorrow's episode, you will hear the true...
Thanks, Rochester.
I don't know why you listen to that program, boss. It always upsets you.
Well, I don't know where they get those fantastic ideas. I mean, nobody can be that cheap.
Well.
And that corny title, The Mean Old Man. It's ridiculous.
I'll get it. Mr. Benny's residence, star, stage, screen, radio, and the only laundry service that... Huh? Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. I almost wasted a commercial on you. Yeah, I'll put him on. It's Miss Livingston, boss.
Thanks. Hello, Mary. How do you feel? What? 100? Mary, that's awful. Oh, your temperature. I thought you meant the doctor bill. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better. And Mary... What? Oh, you're welcome, Mary. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll call you tomorrow, honey. Goodbye.
What'd you thank you for, boss?
Well, everybody's been sending her flowers and fruit and candy, so I just thought I'd be a little different.
What did you send her?
A bowl of chili. You know, it's good in this nippy weather. Anyway, it looks like Miss Livingston will be back on the program next week.
That's good. If you don't need me anymore now, boss, I'll go in the library and finish working on your scrapbook.
Oh, fine, fine, Rochester. You know, one of my biggest thrills is when I show my scrapbook to people.
I know, boss. That's why I put the picture of you shaking hands with the King of England right on the front cover.
Good, good. What's on the back cover?
An ad. You sold a space to Manischewitz's wife.
That hunch all day.
I'm a man.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rochester, look at Pace. Pace, I went over it with him 1,000 times. Manischewitz's. Rochester. Paste that picture of me playing the violin on the inside cover, will you?
Oh, I can't. We've got that reserved for Suratan. Oh.
What are you laughing at?
You've got the only scrapbook that's been handled by Batten, Parson, Durston, and Osborne.
Well, you go in the library and paste all my reviews in it.
Yes, sir.
I'll get it. Be my love, da di da di da 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 dum. Be my love, dum 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 di da dum. Well, hello, Mr. Brown.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I'm sorry I'm 3 days late with the rent on our house, but here it is.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, Mr. Benny, our hot water heater is leaking. Do you think maybe you could have it fixed?
Well, see, plumbing costs are awfully high now, you know.
I guess they are, but it's been months since you promised to paint the living room.
Well...
I fixed the hole in the roof myself.
Well, good, good.
Well, I guess I'll be running along. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Brown, how's your wife? I mean, what's she doing now?
Oh, haven't you heard? She writes that radio program, The Mean Old Man.
Oh, yes. I listen to it every day. Your wife has quite an imagination.
Yeah, imagination.
Huh?
Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye.
Who was it, boss?
It was Mr. Brown from Long Beach.
Oh, you know, he's been complaining a long time about a hole in the roof.
It's fixed.
But, boss, I don't remember you sending anyone down to fix it.
If I say it's fixed, it's fixed. If you don't believe me, listen to tomorrow's episode and you'll find out. By the way, Rochester, has my television script arrived from CBS?
No, not yet, boss.
I don't know what's holding it up. I got so much memorizing to do. Oh, that must be it now. Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, it's you, Dennis. Come on in.
Thank you.
How do you feel, kid?
Oh, fine, thanks.
How are your folks?
They're fine, too.
That's good.
Especially my father. After 6 months, they finally took the cast off his foot.
In a cast for 6 months?
Uh-huh.
Dennis, what was wrong with your father's foot?
Oh, nothing. He stepped in a bucket of cement.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Look, kid, I can understand your father stepping in a bucket of cement. I can almost understand him standing there and letting the cement dry. But why? I mean, why would he keep it on his foot for 6 months?
Well, my mother made him.
What?
When he stayed out late at night, he couldn't tiptoe into the house.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Imagine your mother making him keep his foot in a bucket for 6 months.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, it came in handy.
How?
They were invited to a masquerade, and Papa went as a potted palm.
Look, kid, do me a favor, will you?
What?
As long as you've got your mouth open, sing, don't talk.
Okay.
Manischewitz is one.
My darling, to the Tennessee waltz, when an old friend I happened sing. Introduced him to my loved one, and while they were waltzing, my friends stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling.
Dennis Day singing, a great crooner. That is the Jack Benny program from March 4th, 1951. Going to the dentist. We'll have more of it after these words. But first, this. So far, Lisa, nobody's guessed Roger's song, my song, or your song from 1975.
That's correct.
Usually by about now, one of us has been.
We did have somebody who guessed the right song, but for the wrong person.
Ah.
But that's as close as we've come so far.
Yeah. Do you have like a 10-second read something or other that you need to read?
I do.
Well, where is it?
I don't know.
You got all the paperwork there.
No, I've got it.
All right.
WGN Radio and WGN TV have partnered with the American Red Cross to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. Text Harvey to 90999 to donate $10 or go to redcross.org to donate more.
Okay, very good. When we come back from the news, we will have the conclusion to the Jack Benny program. Then a little later, it's Dr. Christian from 1938, then The Shadow. Will learn what evil lurks in the hearts of men, Lisa, on The Shadow with Bill Johnstone. Try to guess our songs, folks. Just Google top songs of 1975, and no one's guessed Lisa's, mine, or Roger's song yet. If you do want to take a guess, you text it in to 312-981-7200. And if you get it right, if you're the first person to identify any one of our three songs, you will win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
And so, I can say that nobody's gotten anything right as of this moment, and you are welcome to continue texting until you get it right.
All right.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, while the news was going on, somebody from Huntley, Illinois guessed my favorite song. It was not Orion Samuelson. No, it was not Orion. But someone did guess it, and we'll play it in a little bit. But you can stop trying to guess my song because it has been identified. But Lisa's favorite song from 1975 and Roger Badish's favorite song from 1975 have not yet been identified. You can try by texting in here at 312-981-7200. But right now it's time for the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
Dennis?
Dennis, that was really very good.
Gee, thank you.
You know, I can't understand you, kid. You come in here and talk, and when you talk, you sound so ridiculous. And then you sing. And when you sing, you're a completely different person. Gee, I mean, what are you, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Uh-huh, and each one has his own show.
What?
The doctor's on another network.
Oh, yes.
Well, so long, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, kid.
Oh, say, Mr. Benny.
Now what?
Can I have your permission to do a guest spot tomorrow on a dramatic program?
Dramatic program? What's the name of it?
The Mean Old Man. They got a wonderful part for me where I fix a hole in the roof.
Do it, do it. Goodbye, goodbye. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Are you sure my television script hasn't arrived yet?
Not yet.
Well, I'm going to call CBS and see what's holding it up. Happens all the time. Got to rehearse it. You got to memorize it.
CBS, the star's address. What? All right, you don't have to shout. The line is busy now. Hold on.
Who is it, Gertrude?
Jack Benny.
Oh. Well, what does Tennessee Schmaltz want now?
He wants I should get him the mimeograph department.
So, why were you so fresh to him?
Why was I so fresh to him? The other night he called and asked me if he could pick me up and take me dancing at the Macombo. And then he got mad because when he called for me, I was wearing my overalls.
Well, I don't blame him for being mad. Why would you wear overalls to the Macombo?
Who gets to the Macombo? I always wind up fixing his car.
Well, you're better off than I am.
Why?
I'm not mechanical-minded, and I have to get out and push.
You been out with Jack lately?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. He took me to a nightclub. We sat at a corner, and the lights were low, and he got so romantic.
What did he do?
He drank Hattacol out of my slipper.
Gee, that's funny. He usually drinks Manischewitz's wine.
Through the open toe.
Well, with the hat of call, you must have had the happiest feet in town.
Yeah, but you know what I've been thinking? Maybe we shouldn't be so fussy about men.
I guess you're right. After all, we're not getting any younger.
Speak for yourself, John. I'm only 23.
23? Then how did you get that medal for sticking to your switchboard during the San Francisco fire?
It wasn't me. Well, I never... I mean... Oh, why should I lie? You were there.
Yeah? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. The line is still busy. Your television script? I'll tell him. Goodbye.
That'll give me a graph. The mimeograph department drives me nuts. That script should have been here. Hey, maybe that's it. Come in. Oh, hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
Don. Don, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing, nothing.
Now, Don, don't try to kid me. There's something bothering you. What is it?
Oh, it's the sportsman quartet. They're mad at me.
The four of them?
Yeah, they're outside and they won't come in because I'm here.
Well, that's ridiculous. Come on in, fellas. Hello, boys.
Hello, boys. See, they won't talk to me.
Yeah.
And they have such a wonderful idea for next week's commercial. Haven't you, boys?
Have you? Now, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Now, Don, why are they mad at you?
They found out that you pay me more money than you pay them.
Well, that's a fine thing to be mad about.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I think they've got a point there.
But, Don, you should get more money than the quartet. You've been with me 17 years.
But, Jack, sentiment shouldn't enter into this. After all, there are four of them.
But, Don, every year you've been picked as radio's outstanding announcer.
I know, Jack, but now let's be fair about it. They work hard, too. And I believe that they should get the same salary I get.
Well, Don, if you feel that strongly about it, there should be an adjustment. I mean, how much am I paying the quartet now?
$100 a week.
Oh. Well, Don, if it'll make you feel better starting next week, I'll cut you down to the same. Okay?
Well, thanks, Jack. That solves the whole thing. Now there won't be any more trouble.
It's amazing that I didn't think of that myself. Well, Don, now that it's all settled, what's this song the boys have?
Well, Jack, you know, in the past few weeks, everybody seems to be catching cold. So they're a little worried about you, and they want you to take care of yourself.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Let's hear it, fellas.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself, careful, Mr. B. Eat an apple every day, go to bed by three. Take good care of yourself, pass an NBC. Be careful in the breeze,
ooh.
Watch it, please,
ooh.
Or you'll sneeze,
ooh.
Don't get the flu and ruin your program. If you're ever feeling bad, call a doctor, do. Take good care of yourself, 'cause we all love you.
See, that was very good, fellas. And I hope you're not mad at Don anymore.
I'm sure they're not, Jack. And thanks again for making that adjustment.
You're welcome, Don. I'm sure you won't have any more trouble. Goodbye.
So long, Jack.
So happy. Be my love. Dum-dee-da-dee-da-da-dee. Be my love. Well, I saved a little money by cutting Don's salary. But I lost a little, too. After all, I'm his agent. Oh, well. Now, let's see.
Well, here I am, boss.
Rochester, how'd you know I was going to call you?
You ain't going to get any funny answers out of that bridge lamp.
Oh, yes. How's my scrapbook coming along?
It's all finished, boss. I put a title on the cover.
A title on my scrapbook? What do you call it?
Across the River and Into the Bank.
Say, that's pretty good.
Yeah, the bridge lamp never would have thought of that.
I know, I know. Now, put away the paste and I'll get it. Be my love. Well, the boys from the Beverly Hills Beavers, Joey, Stevie, and Butch, and...
This is Butch's mother.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Broderick. Won't you come in?
Thank you. I hope we're not intruding, Mr. Benny, but the boys insisted I come here. You see, Butch idolizes you so much, and...
And what, Mrs. Broderick?
It's like this, Mr. Benny. Butch has a tooth with a cavity in it. It's got to be pulled, and he's afraid to go to the dentist.
Is that right, Butch?
My tooth don't hurt.
Mr. Benny, I'm sure if you told him to go, he would. You see, you're his hero.
I am?
Yes, in fact, I'm kind of thrilled myself. Talking to the man who used to play football under the name of Red Grange.
Well...
Tell her about the time you caught your own kickoff and made a touchdown.
Oh, it was nothing, Stevie. Butch, let me look at your tooth. Now, open your mouth.
Mm-mm.
Now, come on now, Butch. Come on, open your mouth.
Mm-mm.
Now, Butch, that's no way to act. You yourself said when you grow up, you want to be just like Mr. Benny.
Yeah, if you're brave and have your tooth pulled, maybe someday you too will be on the Harvard rowing team.
Butch, let me see your tooth.
Oh, Mr. Benny, were you on the Harvard rowing team?
Butch, let me see your tooth.
Mr. Benny, tell Butch's mother about the day you won the rowing regatta all by yourself.
Butch, let me look at your tooth.
Mr. Benny not only won the rowing regatta, but he knocked a home run at the Yankee Stadium at the same time.
Butch, please let me look at your tooth, will you?
Mr. Benny, how could you be rowing and still hit a home run in the Yankee Stadium?
Well,
He had a long arc.
Yes, it was one of the... Rochester, what are you doing here?
Making notes. I'm starting a new scrapbook.
Never mind.
Oh, Mr. Benny, would you mind coming down to the dentist's office with us? It's just around the corner. Dr. Kearns.
Oh, Dr. Kearns, yes.
That's the only way I'll get Butch in the dentist's chair.
Well, I'll be glad to go along. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Broderick, how much do you expect to pay to have Butch's tooth pulled?
Oh, I'd say about $5.
$5. Oh, Rochester.
No, no, boss, the pliers are rusty.
I didn't call you for that. I just wanted to tell you I'm taking Butch to the dentist. Now, come on, Butch.
My tooth don't hurt.
Now, come on. Well, here's Dr. Kern's office. Let's go in.
Come, children.
Yes?
I'm Mrs. Broderick. I called a while ago.
Oh, yes, yes. Which one is to have his tooth pulled? The one playing with the yo-yo or the one with the propeller on his hat?
The one with the yo-yo. The one with the propeller is Mr. Benny.
Oh. Well, Mrs. Broderick, the doctor will be with you in a moment.
Thank you.
Now, look, Butch, after you get your tooth pulled, you should see your dentist twice a year and brush your teeth twice a day. Remember that, Butch, and you'll never have any more trouble.
Hey, Butch, be sure the dentist gives you some of that stuff Mr. Benny invented, that penicillin.
Yes, yes.
I don't want to get my tooth pulled.
Look, Butch, there's really nothing to it. Having a tooth pulled is a very simple...
Next, please.
You may take him in now, Mrs. Broderick.
Come, Butch.
I don't want to have my tooth pulled. It don't hurt.
Now, wait a minute, Butch, wait a minute. I'll be right back. May I talk to you, Doctor?
Why, certainly.
Now, look, Doc, I want to show Butch that having a tooth pulled doesn't hurt at all.
Well, it really doesn't.
I know, but we've got to convince Butch. So I'll sit in the chair, you make believe that you're pulling my tooth, and I'll make a big nothing out of it.
That's an excellent idea. All right, come sit right down in the dentist's chair.
Now, look, Butch, I'm going to have my tooth pulled. Isn't that right, Doctor?
Yes. Come, Mr. Benny. Open your mouth.
Watch this, Butch. Ah. See, Butch? Nothing to it.
Would you please open your mouth again, Mr. Benny?
Huh?
Open your mouth.
Ah. What is it, Doctor? What is it?
Oh, nurse.
Yes, Doctor?
Prepare the Novocaine.
What?
The third tooth from the end, the bicuspid, it has to come out.
But I don't want to get my tooth pulled. It doesn't hurt. Honest, Doctor, it doesn't hurt. I don't want to get my tooth pulled.
Go ahead, Doc. I'm holding them.
Look, let me go.
Here's the Novocaine, Doctor.
Thank you, nurse.
Doctor, you can't do this to me.
There it's out.
Oh, boy. Look at that propeller spin.
Now, Butch, let me look at your tooth. Come on, open your mouth.
I don't want to.
Come on, Butch, open your mouth.
No.
Open that big mouth or I'll bash your head in.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with your tooth, sonny.
Oh, but doctor, look how black it is.
He's been eating licorice.
What?
And Mr. Benny, for pulling your tooth, that will be $5.
You can deduct it from next month's rent. Come on, kids, let's get out of here. Ooh, Rochester, get me another ice bag.
Yes, sir.
And get me two more aspirins.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
You know, boss, for a man who scored a touchdown with his own kickoff, you're making an awful fuss.
Never mind that. Get me the ice bag.
Okay, Red.
Good night, Dow.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day and the Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned to the Amos and Andy Show. follows immediately. The Jack Benny program is heard by our armed forces overseas and civilians of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, there you have it. That's the Jack Benny program for March 4th, 1951. Going to the dentist with Jack Benny, all his gang on there. And you know what, Lisa? He was so smart. Jack Benny was really a very intelligent guy because he let everyone else around him have the funniest lines and the funniest jokes, like Seinfeld. You know, same exact way. Let everybody else have the jokes. But, you know, nobody cared because it was like nobody really remembered who. All that they would say is, you know what, did you listen to the Jack Benny show last Sunday? It was amazing. It was awesome. It was great. People always talked about the Jack Benny program. Jack Benny did not care if he got the laughs or if it was Mary Livingston or Dennis Day. And some great, I mean, listen to the cast of characters he had on this particular show. He had Don Wilson, Dennis Day, Phil Harris, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Mel Blanc, who was Barney Rubble. Then you had Bea Benaderet, who was Betty Rubble. You know, so they were, it's great. Sarah Berner, Joseph Kearns, Elva Allman, Sandra Gould, who was Gladys.
Oh, right, from
Bewitched. On the Bewitched show, right. Yeah. Gosh, I mean, and then he had, I think of this show. No, this particular show didn't have what's his name? I can't remember. But anyway, this was originally sponsored by Lucky Strike. We removed all of the Lucky Strike commercials because we don't want you to smoke. March 4th, 1951, CBS broadcast of the Jack Benny program. Hope you enjoyed that. When we come back from this commercial break, we're going to reveal my favorite song from 1975. Stick around. All right. Well, someone did identify my favorite song from 1975, and here it is. Roger's dancing up there. Look at him.
I'm waiting for you to get up and dance so the whole world can see. Chair dancing doesn't count.
I'm too lazy and too old to get up. KC and the Sunshine Band.
And I'm
right
surprised
there.
Somebody didn't guess that like within the first minute of the show if they went through that list.
Get Down Tonight. All right. That's my favorite song, 1975. And I got to tell you, you're right, Roger. My head did explode when I started looking at songs from 1976.
Yep.
Lisa and I picked out our songs from 1976 next week. And boy, I'll tell you, it was very easy for me because there was a song on there that was my favorite song of all time, not just 1976.
All right.
So it was real simple for me. Lisa took a little while. It took me like 8 seconds. Took Lisa like 35 seconds. And you've been working on it for how many weeks?
Lisa?
How many weeks were you working on it, Roger?
It took me a whole week.
I think he's still working on it.
No. 76 is done. 77 is done. 78 still. I'm taking a break.
Getting ahead of himself.
Yeah, right. I told him nobody will ever call him a procrastinator.
Yeah. So, Lisa, anybody else identify songs?
I think we have Roger's song.
No way.
Yeah, we do.
Hang on, say what it is.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back to the show. Hour two here of the WGN Radio Theater, and we have Dr. Christian in this hour. Then in hour three, it's The Shadow, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming drama Only the Brave about the firefighters who battled a wildfire in Prescott, Arizona in June of 2013.
What do they win?
They are going to win two tickets to see the 39 Steps at the Mackinac Art Center.
All right. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He was the star of The Fisher King.
Sir, hey, it's Monday morning, and I'm Jack Lucas.
Who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Win some tickets. We'll be right back.
We are back and playing WGN Radio Theater Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Sir, hey, it's Monday morning, and I'm Jack Lucas.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great, good to hear from you. Who is that actor?
That is the dude, Jeff Bridges.
You are absolutely right. Jeff Bridges is the right answer, and we are thrilled to give you two tickets to see The 39 Steps. It's playing September 7th through October 8th at the Mackininch Art Center, which is in Glen Ellen. It's the Buffalo Theater Ensemble production, of course, based on Alfred Hitchcock's 1935 thriller. We hope that you love it. You can get more information or tickets at themac.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, someone did identify Roger's favorite song from 1975. We have a winner for that. We'll play it in a little bit. So still Lisa's song is the only one left. No one has identified Lisa's song. If you want to take a guess, her song from 1975, 312-981-7200 is the text in line.
And the only thing I can say about it is that nobody has guessed that song for any of us.
Really?
At all. It hasn't come up for any of us.
All right. So we will play Roger's song in a little bit, but right now it's time for Dr. Christian. This was a drama that came to radio in 1937. It had a very long run. It aired all the way to 1954. It starred Gene Hirschholt as Dr. Paul Christian. Now, this character was heard on radio, seen in movies, and even adapted for television. Dr. Christian practiced in the Midwest town of River's End with the assistance of nurse Judy Price, played by Rosemary DeCamp. By the mid-1940s, this is very interesting, Lisa, listeners contributed the majority of the scripts. They actually asked listeners to write scripts for the show, and you would win a prize. You'd get $2,000 if you were the top prize of the year, but you would get $500 if they used your scripts. Now, we're talking the 1930s here.
Yeah,
this is big money.
That has to be less than they'd have to pay a writer to do it. So,
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Really?
And the top guy or gal for the year, $2,000. You know what that was like in the 1930s? Now, two of the writers who won, you know, these unknown listener writers, Rod Serling and Earl Hamner Jr., two very famous writers. This program was sponsored for most of its run by Vaseline. So we have an episode now of Dr. Christian from January 16th, 1938. It's called The Flood. This stars Gene Hirschholt. Here's part one of Dr. Christian.
From Hollywood, California, we bring you Chapter 11 in the Chronicles of River's End. The star of the show, Gene Hirschholt, in his greatest of all roles. The title of the show, Dr. Christian. The sponsor of the show, the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. And so to today's story of Dr. Paul Christian. As the scene opens, it is 7 o'clock in the evening, and Dr. Christian and his friend Roy Davis, the druggist, are having a game of checkers in the doctor's office.
Let's see. Well, it looks as if you've got me this time, Doc, but I'll make this move. Yes, Roy, I think I have. Well, at that, there are worse checker players than I am.
Hmm?
I said there are worse checker players than I am.
Yes, I was just trying to think of one.
Well, that's a game apiece. You want to play off the tie?
Sure, it's an hour and a half before the bus gets in. Might as well give you a good swimming.
The bus?
Oh, didn't I tell you? Judy's back from a vacation in Hollywood.
No, is she?
Mm-hmm. Her train got into the city at 2 o'clock this afternoon. She phoned me and said that she was catching the 8:30 Riverside bus.
Well, you're lucky to get her back. I thought you might stay out there and try to crash the movie.
No, not Judy. Besides, she's got another little reason for coming back. In fact, it's not such a little reason at that. 6 feet tall and weighs about 190 pounds.
Jerry Turner?
Mm-hmm, Jerry Turner.
They're not exactly engaged, are they?
No, but I know the symptoms. And I'd say the case is already in its secondary stage.
Well, I hope it's incurable. They're a couple of swell kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just a minute, Roy. Hello? Yes, this is Dr. Christian. Judy will be home tonight. You're welcome. That phone's been going all day. Whatever you do, Roy, don't get up mixed up with the telephone. Now, let's see. Where were we?
Your move.
Oh, yes. Well, if you have a notion that I'm going to... Wait a minute. Hello? Oh, hello, Susan. Yes, Judy will be back this evening. Oh, it's no trouble at all. Goodbye. My move? Well, Roy, I'm going to show you a new trick. Instead of the... Judy will be home this evening.
I should think it would be a lot less trouble if you just put a notice in the paper.
Well, the next time anyone asks me about Judy, I'm going to lose my temper and do something I'll be sorry for. Your move?
No, still yours.
All right. I think I'll just let you...
Doc, you heard from Judy?
Be careful, Doc. Don't shoot.
Say, what news...
He's young, Doc. Now, don't shoot him.
Hey, what is this?
Oh, hello, Jerry. Oh, it's just Roy's idea of a joke.
Joke? Well, all I can say is it's a good thing for you, Jerry, that I got him calmed down. You should have seen him. Positively raging every time the phone rang. I tell you, when you interrupt Doc's checker game, he's a...
Now, wait. Just keep cool. Don't get excited, Doctor. I'll answer.
Hello? This is Roy Davis speaking. Well, didn't Al attend to that? Okay, I'll be right over. Got to get back to the store.
I want you, Roy, to leave telephones alone.
See you in the morning, Doctor.
All right, Roy.
Come on, Jerry.
Come on.
Say, Dr. Christian, you got a pair of scissors handy?
Yeah, I think there's a pair in the drawer here.
I want to cut the string on this box.
Yeah, there you are.
Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. Where did you get such wonderful roses at this time of year?
I had one of the bus drivers bring them from the city. See, now where can I put them so Judy won't miss them when she comes to the office in the morning?
Wait. I'll get you a vase.
I hope they'll keep until morning.
Oh, I'll put some water in it. They'll keep.
Hey, how about putting them over here on the table, huh?
No. Put them right smack in center of her desk.
Well, not much at arranging flowers, but... They don't look so bad on the desk for that, huh?
Well, she'd be crazy about them.
Well, I guess I'd better beat it along home and change my clothes.
Oh, what do you want to change your clothes for? You look all right the way you are.
Oh, not for a special occasion like this.
Well...
Tonight, I'm dolling up.
I'll see you at the bus station.
Okay, but I warn you, you're only going to have a chance to say hello to her. After that, she's mine.
All right, Jerry.
Say, you're sure she'll see those roses on her desk all right, huh?
Now, how can she miss them? She'll see them the first thing she does when she comes into the office in the morning.
Well, don't mention Rose's tour tonight.
Oh, no, I won't.
I want her to be surprised when she comes in.
Dr. Christian!
Why, Judy!
And Jerry. Oh, it's so good to see you, both of you.
Well, it's good to see you, too,
but I thought you were coming on the 8:30.
Come on in, Bill. Dr. Christian, this is Mr. Conway.
How do you do, Dr. Christian?
Well, how do you do?
And Mr. Conway, Jerry Turner.
How do you do?
Well, this is a surprise.
You don't know the half of it.
We were going to meet you at the station.
Well, I'm afraid that's my fault. Judy and I came east on the same train. I live in the city, you know, so I didn't see why she should have to wait for the bus when my car was right in the garage.
Oh, you drove from the city?
Uh-huh, we just got here. Haven't even been home yet.
Well, say, if Mr. Conway's in a hurry to get back, why...
Oh, I'm taking him to the house to meet my family.
Oh. Well, Judy... How does it seem to be back?
Grand.
Well, I don't know. Tomorrow morning the work starts. You'll be back at your desk.
I love it.
Oh, but you don't need to be at your desk too early.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'd better sleep late and get a little rest.
Rest? Oh, the way Bill and I have been going places, it's Hollywood that needs the rest.
Oh, you met Mr. Conway in Hollywood, huh?
Yes.
Did you see any of the picture studios?
Oh, we spent a whole day at 20th Century Fox. So I'm shooting a picture and everything.
I don't suppose you saw any of the big executives at their discs.
No, but we met some of the stars. Bill knows everybody in Hollywood.
Well, not exactly everybody. My father has some connections out there which come in handy. Oh, perhaps you know my father, Dr. Christian. D.J. Conway?
Senator Conway?
Yes.
Sure I do. That is, I don't really know him, but I've heard a lot about him.
He's heard a lot about you, too.
Ah, you bet he has.
In fact, I saw his picture in the paper just the other day, sitting at his desk.
Well, we'd better be getting along or we'll be late for dinner.
Good evening, Dr. Christian. I'll be seeing you again.
Good evening.
Good night.
Say, Judy, I'd sort of planned to... Goodbye, Turner.
I'll be in early tomorrow, Dr. Christian, because I've got a big surprise for you.
We return you now to Dr. Christian's office, where Judy is busily pounding the typewriter.
Ah, sure is pouring. Turning warmer, too. Looks like the January thaw is here, all right.
Oh, hasn't the rain let up yet?
No, coming down harder than ever. All ready to go?
Oh, I can't leave yet, Jerry. Dr. Christian isn't back.
Why, it's after 6 o'clock. Where is he?
He had to take a patient to the hospital. He rushed out of here this morning before I had a chance to say a word to him.
Well, I'll stick around. He ought to be showing up pretty soon.
But, Jerry, if it's a serious case, he may not be back until late.
Oh, you can't go home by yourself in this rain anyway. You haven't any other plans, have you?
No. Why?
Well, I just thought I'd ask. Thought maybe your friend Mr. Conway might be around.
Oh, he went back to the city last night.
How'd you happen to meet him, anyway?
Oh, I met him in Hollywood.
Well, sure, I know, but how? What'd he do, just bust up to you and say hello?
No, we were quite properly introduced, if that's what you mean. Why, Jerry, you don't think he's important, do you?
No, except in his own estimation.
I don't think that's very funny.
Well, of course, when it comes to being funny, I couldn't compete with him.
You're not being very nice. Bill Conway's a friend of mine. When I was in Hollywood, he treated me marvelously.
Okay, I'm not saying anything against him. But if he's the kind of guy you'd fall for... Ooh,
who said anything about falling for
him? Well,
you
certainly acted as if you had last night.
I didn't either. Anybody's likely to be a little excited just getting home from a trip. And about those roses on my desk. Honestly, Jerry, I didn't notice them.
I know you didn't, Judy. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Well, maybe that's Dr. Christian now. Dr. Christian's office? Oh, hello. Yes, I didn't recognize your voice. No, I haven't had a chance to talk to Dr. Christian about it. Well, where are you now? Oh, you're kidding. Of course you are. No, I can't. No, honestly. Well, all right. Oh, I'll be here till 9 o'clock. All right, I will. Goodbye.
Who was that?
Why?
Who was it?
Well, if you have to know, Jerry, it was Bill Conway.
I thought so. And he's coming here, isn't he? Well, isn't he?
What if he is?
Giving me that stuff about not having any plans for this evening. Telling me he'd gone back to the city. Why, you've had a date with him all the time.
You think I've been lying?
You ought to know. No wonder you've been so anxious to get rid of me. Well, go ahead. Go out with your stuck-up tailor's dummy. See if I care.
Ha-ha, you're just jealous because he has a lot of polish.
Yeah, so is the kid that shines my shoes. But I'll tell you one thing. You better keep him away from me if you don't want him mussed up.
Oh, look at the big, strong caveman. One punch and he'll cave in.
Is that so? Well, let me tell you something. I've had just about...
Tell you what, Jerry?
Tell us he's just leaving.
You're doggone right, I...
Well, what's the matter with Jerry? Why is he going in such a rush?
Oh, he said something about having his shoes shine.
Well, it'll get him all splashed up in this rain. Oh, I'm tired.
Were you at the hospital all day?
Till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Mrs. Morrow.
Nothing serious.
An appendectomy. Oh. So she's getting along all right. Oh, what about this afternoon's appointments?
I canceled them all.
I have a list here. I see. I'd better phone and find out if there's anything urgent. If there is, I can make some calls this evening.
Oh, you're not going out on a night like this.
Well, if I don't, who will?
Oh, let them go till tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I wish I could. Let's see the list.
Now, wait just a minute. Don't get up, because I'm going to tell you my big surprise. Maybe a little bit of a shock. You're through working day and night, catching your sleep when you can get it, being on the job 24 hours. It's finished.
Finished?
Yes. Everything's all settled. Next spring, you start a whole new life.
Next spring, I start...
Huh?
Judy, you're not ill, are you?
No, I'm perfectly well and perfectly sane.
Well, then it must be me. There's something wrong with one of us.
Well, if you'll only listen a minute. Bill Conway and I talked the whole thing over. That's the news I mentioned last night. It's all arranged for you to quit next spring.
You and Bill Conway arranged
it? Yes, uh-huh.
Well, I'm glad you told me about it.
But that isn't all.
Oh, there's some more. Uh-huh. Well, now that you got me out of a job, possibly you made some arrangement about how I'll manage to eat.
Oh, please don't joke about it. I'm serious. Before Bill and I left the city yesterday afternoon, we had a long talk with Bill's father. There's to be a medical commission appointed in Washington next spring, and you're to be the head of it. You'll be supplied with a secretary, who'll be me, and you'll have...
Wait a minute here. A medical commission?
Mm-hmm. To make a 3-year study of medical care for the common people. It's right in your line. Senator Conway said so himself, because they want a man who's had actual experience and knows the problems of both the doctor and the public. With your experience, you're just the man. And you'll have an office in Washington, D.C., and...
And leave Riversand? Huh? No, that's impossible.
Why is it impossible?
Well, You see, I don't...
See? You can't think of one good reason.
Well, I'll have to give up my practice here.
Well, there'll be other doctors on the commission. They'll have to give up theirs, too, if they can do it.
Oh, why? It's out of the question, Judy. Oh, you shouldn't have bothered the senator with it.
He was tickled to death to think you'd even consider it. Oh, please, Dr. Christian, don't you see this is your one big chance?
Oh, but I can't.
Oh, don't say no. At least wait till Bill comes and talk it over with him. He's on his way now. He phoned me from a service station. He'd be here in 10 minutes. Now, just wait until...
Well, you like taking a beating at checkers this evening, Doc?
No, hello, Roy. No, I've got something to think about.
Dr. Christian's going to be appointed head of a medical commission in Washington.
What's that?
Senator Conway's going to recommend him.
Well, say, this is news. In Washington, eh?
Yeah, but I'm not going to accept.
Oh, nonsense. Tremendous honor, you must accept.
You'll be a national figure, making a marvelous reputation.
May I come in?
Oh, yes, come in, Mr. Conway.
Hello, Judy.
Hello.
Mr. Conway, Mr. Davis.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Davis?
Bill's father is Senator Conway.
Oh, yes. Well, Mr. Conway, your father is recommending a fine man for the National Medical Commission.
I'm sure of that. In fact, when we mentioned Dr. Christian to Dad, he seemed to know all about him. Well, Doctor, is everything all set?
Well, I don't know. It's been kind of sudden.
Sure, it's all set.
Giving up my practice here, well, it's not going to be so easy.
But you'll have plenty of time to make plans. The commission won't meet until spring.
Well, I'll have to think it over.
Well, of course. And if there are any difficulties Dad can iron out for you, I'm sure you'll be glad to do it, because he's counting on you.
There won't be any difficulties.
Well, confidentially, I'm counting on him, too. You see, I want Judy in Washington when I'm there next spring. So my motives are purely selfish.
Ah, well, we'll be there. This is one time when
Dr. Christian.
Why, Joey.
The ice jam up the river's broken.
What? Oh.
The river's a torrent. Still rising. The bottom land's already flooded. They're getting people out of the houses now. You'd better hurry.
Where are they taking them?
Most of them to the Powell's place. But if the river keeps rising, that's going to be flooded, too.
Was anyone drowned?
I don't know.
Wait till I get my kit. And, Roy, you and Judy better come along, too.
All right.
We'll need all the help we can get.
Where's that raincoat you brought me, Jerry?
I've got it out in the car.
Is your car outside?
Yeah.
All right, I'll meet you there. I'm going back to the store, get some bandages and things.
Well, hurry, Roy.
All right, now.
I'll go along with you.
You, Conway? Now, you better not. You might get your clothes muddy.
All the same, I think I'll go.
All right, that's swell. We'll stick right together, because as soon as we're through, I've got something to say to you.
I got something to say to you, Lisa.
Say it, Carl.
The bad guys always talk like this, you know? And the good guys always, they talk like this.
Like you?
Yeah. And then the bad guys, they all talk like this. You
I
know
guess
what
that
I mean?
Means you're a good guy.
This guy's, I think this guy has something to do with this flood here on this Mr. Dr. Christian guy. Right?
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. I've been right a lot tonight.
Yes.
I've been right a lot.
You are right.
All right. That's the first portion of Dr. Christian from January 16th, 1938, starring Gene Herschelt. I recognized Gail Gordon's voice in that cast. Gail Gordon was Lucille Ball's foil for many years, Mr. Mooney. Remember? Gosh, that was so great. And he was Osgood Conklin. On Our Miss Brooks, he was the principal, Osgood Conklin, on that series as well.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
I got this piano playing down here. Wait, hang on.
You're real good.
There we go.
Very brilliant.
I can play that. That's about it, though. And the entertainer.
Yeah, I hear you play that
and the
you
entertainer.
Know, throughout the evening, every weekend.
I went over to Lisa's house. She invited me over for
there?
A bite to eat. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
And she ordered out, of course. She didn't cook anything.
And, well, it was better that way, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually it was. Okay. Chinese
well, you
was
know
good.
How, yeah.
And she has a piano there. And Lisa,
I'll tell you later.
Lisa's a very, very good piano player.
Really?
And yeah, there's one song I can play, The Entertainer. But
now,
not
is,
like,
is
yeah.
It
but
the
I don't
Billy
do the
Joel, the entertainer.
No,
or?
No. And the Sting, you know, from the
right.
Sting. And but I can't do the feet and the harmony and all that. I just do the keys. And then Lisa,
she does the right hand.
Lisa says, "Well, that's pretty good." Then she sits down and she's like, "Bam, bam, 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 bam." Yeah. I mean, she's really good.
I used to be really good. I used to really focus on
You're
it. I don't
rusty.
Anymore. I'm a
no,
little rusty, but I still have a little, you know.
That's the
memory.
One.
She can do it.
That is the one musical instrument I wish I could play. The piano. If I could play the piano.
Do you know what
be,
I did this week?
Be so great.
Yeah.
This is true. So I had my old piano in my house, and I decided I wanted to give it away to a good home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who ended up picking it up from my house from a mover?
Yeah.
Hmm. A WGN personality, a fill-in, Pete McMurray.
Oh, Pete's got it.
Yeah, he's
Wonderful.
Got my old piano, and
That's
he sent me
great.
A picture. It was funny. I sent him a play-by-play of every as they're picking up the piano, moving mm-hmm. the piano, driving up the street, down the street, and then he sent me
Dropping
a picture.
The piano. Oh, I'm sorry.
Pretty much. the guy trying to lift the piano, and then he sent me a photo of his son playing the piano once it got there. So it was really nice.
Speaking of music,
yes,
we are going to play
segue.
Roger's favorite song from 1975. Now, Roger, I got to tell you, I'm not too crazy. Crazy about this song. It's a little soft
please.
For me.
It's,
what is
I mean,
it?
You're
what's
soft.
Your, soft. What, I was going to say, what is your describing word for
I mean,
the song?
You got a lot of great songs from 1975. Roger.
There were, and I told you, everybody knows I had a hard time every year picking. I got down to what? For 75, I got down to like eventually the top nine, I think.
He has
this
with
one
this
just,
job.
I actually listened to all of them, and I said, you know, this one moves me the most.
Here's Roger's favorite song from 1975.
Hey, great piano playing, guys. Also, I knew it was a long intro, so I'm upset.
Wait, I'm going to take a nap over here. Hang on.
It's okay. Everybody else is listening. This is fine. Lisa, you're really good. Wow.
Humbity, 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 humbity.
You know, next time you could just count right to the singing.
Well, did you do this on purpose? Did you pick the song with the longest intro? Is that what Roger did?
I forgot how long it really was.
Oh, my gosh.
You should just, like, fast forward to where he's singing. Because I think we're basically done. That's as much as you can play.
Oh, come on, Barry. Let's go. Get it going here.
He's a pianist.
There you go.
Yes, that he is.
Spirit move me every time I'm near you, whirling like
I can't believe this is your favorite song of 1975.
It is amongst my favorite. I had to pick one, so I picked this one, and I really love it.
You shouldn't have to defend yourself, Roger.
See, in 1975, I was wooing my wife.
Roger.
Oh.
So Barry Manilow was on the radio a lot. He had a lot of hits. And so driving down to Illinois State, where she was staying after graduation, I was listening to this song. So
don't defend yourself against
his rap. I'm not defending myself.
Rap.
I'm explaining it for the audience that cares. I'm explaining the memories behind it.
All right, there that's... Yeah. Could it be magic?
Yeah.
Well, could it be magic?
I just
Roger?
Have to mention that we have a winner for me.
Hey,
oh, wow.
Right.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to it. I just wanted you to know that we're done here with the tax and we have a winner.
All right. So, Roger's favorite song, Could It Be Magic by Barry Manilow. And I love Barry Manilow, but that's not my favorite.
I know. Yeah. We know which Mr. Disco.
You've mentioned that a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was great, though. I had all his albums. I just love Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
All right, so we will reveal Lisa's favorite song in just a little bit. But right now, it's the conclusion to Dr. Christian.
Well, there comes the car now.
Doc's all right. I guess we got here ahead of him.
Hey, Doc! Doc! Is Judy with you, Doc?
Yes, Judy and Conway.
Better have a look at Jim Morgan here.
What's the matter with Jim?
It's my hand, Doc. He was trying to get our furniture out, and I mashed it between the box I was carrying and the door.
Come on, you guys. We got to get the stock out of the barn.
We can open the
door. Come over here by the headlights of the car, Jim.
All right, Doc.
Let me take a look at it.
Anything I can do, Dr. Christian?
Yes. Get me my kit. And tell Judy that I want those bandages.
All right.
Now, let's see, Jim.
Gosh, it sure hurts, Doc.
Yes, you did a good job mashing that hand. Why didn't you dress it for him?
He wouldn't let me touch it. Wanted you to look at it.
Here you are, Dr. Christian.
Thanks. Now, this might hurt a little bit, Jim.
I guess I can stand it, Doc.
Oh, Doc.
Yes, I know it burns a little, but it'll stop in a minute. Bandages.
Yes, here.
It's a good thing you come along, Doc. But it seems like you're always around when a fella needs you.
Does it feel better now?
Yeah, a lot better.
Roy, you finish this bandaging, will you? I'd better go down over to the Powells.
All right, I'll see you there after a while.
Hop in the car, you kids.
Okay.
And Jim, drop into my office tomorrow.
I will, Doc.
Get everything all straightened out.
Sure, we've lost everything. Everything.
Oh, now I don't think it'll be as bad as all that. We've had floods before, and they haven't done such an awful lot of damage.
Henry wasn't there when the water started to come up. I didn't know what to do.
Well, did Henry get there at all?
Yes, and brought some men with him. They're still there again.
Oh, then they'll take care of everything. It'd take quite a little while for the water to get up into your house. They'd have plenty of time to move the furniture and things upstairs. And it's never gotten as high as you upstairs.
Well, that's right, isn't it?
Well, you'll have to do a lot of scrubbing and cleaning after the water goes down, but I'll bet you'll find you got off pretty easy.
Oh, I don't care how much work there'll be for me.
Oh, there you are. Nothing's happened that can't be cured by a little hard work.
Anything else I can do, Dr. Christian?
Did you put some water on to boil?
Yes.
Well, go and tell Judy that I...
Help him in here.
Right over this way.
The barn collapsed, Doc. He got caught under some timbers. I had a devil of a time getting
out. Oh, he's dead. He's dead.
No, he isn't. Who put the bandage on his leg?
I did. He was bleeding pretty bad. I took his shirt and tied it up.
Conway, get me a basin of hot water.
All right.
Bring him in here.
Now, take it easy, old man.
Right here, Doctor?
Yes. Put him on the bed. Jerry, go out to my car and see if there's another roll of bandages. If there isn't, look for Roy Davis. He's got some in his car.
Okay. Is this enough water, Dr. Christian?
Yes. Put it there. The rest of you clear out.
Yeah. I'm just outside here.
Okay, Doc.
All right. Smooth it out a little. You've got to work fast. He's bleeding badly.
I think he's coming, too.
Well, it would have been a lot better if they had put on a tourniquet instead of this bandage. Press your fingers just above the bandage. Right there. Press hard. Now, just hold it till I...
Oh, it's you, Doc.
Hello, Sam.
Certainly glad to see you.
Yes, I guess you're going to need a few repairs.
Well, you're the fellow who can make them. Leg isn't broken, is it?
No, but it's going to give you a little twinge when I put this clamp on.
You go ahead, Doc. You know what to do.
Now, try and relax, and it'll be much easier.
Could I have a cigarette, Doc?
Sure.
Here's one. Thanks.
Now, I won't hurt you any more than I have to.
I know you won't, Doc.
We'll get all ready first. Now, try and think of something else. Do you think of the time that you and I went fishing? Remember that day?
Yeah.
You were sitting there in the boat with your line in the water, not paying very much attention. All of a sudden, you got a bite. A big trout. Snap on to lights, Judy.
All right.
Well, here we are. Back where we started from.
Oh, your clothes, Bill. That suit's a sight.
Yeah, it's kind of muddy, isn't it?
If you haven't all the qualifications for a first-class tramp.
You might take a peek in the mirror yourself.
Huh?
Is that streak of soot across your face for adornment or purely utilitarian?
Oh, heavens.
Well, this has been quite an experience for me, Dr. Christian. Do they have floods often?
Oh, no. The last one was 4 or 5 years ago.
But there's always something to keep life interesting.
I imagine.
You see, the ice jams up in the river, and then, if there's a sudden thaw, it lets loose a lot of water all at once. It was this warm rain that started it.
You suppose there was much damage done?
Oh, not a great deal. If you weren't careful, most of the damage would come afterwards. Typhoid, flu, pneumonia, and
but
so on.
But Dr. Christian's like the Marines. He always has the situation well in hand.
How about that fellow Carson? Will he get all right?
Oh, sure. I'll have to keep my eye on him for a while to see that infection doesn't set in, but he'll be all right. Well, I guess we might as well call it a day. I'd have to get up early in the morning. Is Mr. Conway taking you home, Judy?
Oh, he has such a long drive to the city, I think I'd better.
I think I'll stay at the hotel tonight. Phone in tomorrow morning and have some clothes sent out.
Mm-hmm. Good night, and thanks for help.
Oh, Dr. Christian, I don't want to influence your decision about that appointment, but maybe Judy and I have been wrong.
Why, Bill!
Oh, I don't mean it the way you think, Judy, but... But I realize tonight how much these people need him and depend on him. How much confidence they have in him. You're right, Dr. Christian. It's not going to be easy to give up your practice.
No, but then as Judy pointed out, there'll be other doctors in the commission. They'll have to give up theirs.
And Dr. Christian's made plenty of sacrifices for them already. He's had offers before. This isn't the first one. And he's always stayed on.
Yes, now that I have a little time to make arrangements...
Yes, he won't be exactly running out on his patients. This offer's too big to turn down.
What do you think, Dr. Christian?
Yes, it is too big to turn down.
And he's entitled to do more important work.
Only I wonder if there is anything more important than taking care of those who need you. Well, you know best, Dr. Christian.
I saw the lights on, so I figured you were still up.
Oh, hello, Turner. I hoped you would show up. Didn't you want to say something to me?
Yeah.
Jerry,
Now, what's the matter?
But I've changed my mind. I've got you all wrong, Conway. I had you doped out as a... Well, never mind about that. But after the way you pitched in and helped tonight, you're okay.
Well, thanks.
Say, wait. Gee, I wasn't jealous, was he?
Sure, and I still am. But anyway, from now on, Conway, it'll be a case of the best man wins. What do you say?
Okay by me.
Oh, shake.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to get the brakes, Turner, because I'll be in Washington next spring, just about the time Judy and Dr. Christian arrive there.
Washington?
No. No, it'll be Jerry who gets the brakes. Because next spring, Judy and Dr. Christian will be doing business at the same old stand.
You're not going?
No.
But I thought you decided to accept.
Well, if he doesn't, I know what I'm going to do. Well, I'll go right on working for him.
What's all this about?
Well, Jerry, I had a sort of a notion that maybe the time had come to leave River's End. Mr. Conway talked me into it and then talked me out of it again. So I guess that leaves me right here where I am.
Dr. Christian stories, starring Gene Hersholt in the title role, come to you every Sunday afternoon with the good wishes of the makers of Vaseline products. Gene Hersholt, who appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, will be back next Sunday afternoon with another delightful Dr. Christian story. We hope you will all listen in. This is Arthur Gilmore bidding you good afternoon for the makers of Vaseline preparation. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
It's interesting. Art Gilmore there, the announcer, he said, this is Arthur Gilmore. Maybe in 1938 he was going by Arthur, and then a little later he became very well known as Art Gilmore. She shortened it, you know, for... Or maybe this show was running short, and the producer was saying, stretch it. And he was like, okay. I'll say Arthur Gilmore. That'll stretch a quarter of a second.
Doesn't stretch much, although you're good
at stretching.
Quarter
of a second.
All right, so that's Dr. Christian, January 16th, 1938, sponsored by Vaseline, all about a flood there. Gene Herschelt along with Gail Gordon. Hope you enjoyed that. All right, Lisa has a little live
read
here.
Yeah, WGN Radio and WGN TV have partnered with the American Red Cross to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. Text Harvey to 90999 to donate $10 or go to redcross.org to donate more.
All right, so Lisa's song has been identified, and we will play that in a little bit. But first, these words. All right, Lisa, before we play your song, before we reveal your song, I want to remind listeners, and we had Steve Darnall on yesterday. We have a venture going with Steve. Steve Darnall produces the Nostalgia Digest, which is a 64-page magazine filled with articles about the golden age of radio, television, movies, and music. And now, Nostalgia Digest includes our broadcast schedule for the WGN Radio Theater. So if you are a subscriber to Nostalgia Digest, you will see our schedule in there. If you are not a subscriber, a one-year subscription to the Nostalgia Digest, four big issues per year, is only $17. But, here's the big but, if you subscribe for 2 years, you will get 8 issues for only $30. So basically, you save some money per year. And if you mention WGN when ordering, you'll receive a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas, a $27.99 value, absolutely free. So you pay $30, you get 8 issues over 2 years, and you get the Twilight Zone CD sets. Not bad. All right, just go to NostalgiaDigest.com, NostalgiaDigest.com, order a 2-year subscription, and write WGN in the ordering instructions to receive your CDs with your first issue. That's NostalgiaDigest.com, all right?
All right.
Sounds good? Okay, yeah, you'll love it. I have one right here. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Al Jolson on the cover of the current issue, the autumn issue of Nostalgia Digest. All right, so someone did identify Lisa's favorite song from 1975, and here it is.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Let them eat cakes, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. And at a time of limitation, you can't take care. Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen.
There it is, yeah. That's a good song.
Thank you.
I like that song.
You approve of that one.
Yeah, that one I approve of.
Yeah, you tell me when I picked it you didn't like
it. Well, it wouldn't be in my top maybe 10, but...
Oh, okay.
You know, listen.
You know, I'm a Queen fan. I always have been.
Yeah.
I've always loved
it. Well, Freddie Mercury, great voice. I mean, what a voice.
Honestly, they don't make them like that
You know,
anymore.
I remember watching American Idol... The year that, what's the guy's name?
Adam Lambert?
Adam Lambert. Yep. I think he was the most talented singer of anyone that ever won. That's just my opinion.
Adam Lambert
Carrie Underwood.
And the one before her.
I'm talking about guys now.
Okay.
Because there's some, you know, like, there's some girls that won it were unbelievable. But as far as the guys,
I agree with
he was,
you.
And he didn't even win.
I know.
He didn't even win that year.
Sense.
He came in second. He was a runner-up.
I was really aggravated.
But he did a Queen song.
I remember.
I'm trying to remember which one it was.
I do remember
I was
that.
Absolutely blown out of my chair.
I think they said he should be on Broadway. He can sing anything anywhere.
I mean, that guy's just a natural talent.
He's
amazing. But I'll never forget, he sang a Queen song. Can't remember which one it was. It wasn't this one.
No.
And... I mean, it was incredible. But, I mean, that's tough to take on a Freddie Mercury song.
Yeah.
I mean, Freddie Mercury's voice.
Yeah.
One of the best of all time, really, when you think about it. All right, Lisa, good job.
Thanks, Carl.
You know, like on a rating of 1 to 10, about a 5.5.
Really?
Yeah,
is that it for
five
you?
5.5. I'm a tough grader.
Listen. Just like I just got a text Queen Rock. So
yeah.
I agree.
I'm a tough
always,
creator.
Always.
So I would give my song a 10.
No.
Your song a 5.5.
You think.
Roger's
wait a
song.
Second, a 2.
Oh.
You think that Get Down Tonight.
One and three quarter.
Get Down Tonight is a better song than Queen.
It's Casey and the Sunshine Band.
You you are lost.
Casey and the Sunshine Band. All I have to say is this. Next week.
I can't even look at you right now.
Next week, when we play our favorite songs from 1976, my favorite song from 1976 is my favorite song of all time.
I love all that time. Song. As a matter of fact, earlier in the week, I told Roger I might pick that song.
Well,
but okay.
Pick this.
Pick
something else.
Pick away.
If you know what I mean.
Pick away.
You know, pick a friend.
Pick yours.
Pick a friend. All right.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Welcome back to Hour 3. Thanks, Esmeralda, and thank you, Roger. It is 1:08 in the morning here, and a happy Labor Day, everybody. We're laboring right now, Lisa.
Too much.
Yeah, no, but this is not work for me.
this is happy time.
I love doing this. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. playing your favorite classic radio shows, and I have a favorite of many people in this hour, The Shadow. People are going to love it. If you haven't heard The Shadow before, you're in for a treat. And if you have heard it before, you know you're also in for a treat. And Bill Johnstone stars as Lamont Cranston in this 1940 episode. And it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film Victoria.
This what? This actress? What'd you say?
Okay, let me start over. Okay,
yeah, start over.
Okay. Now I'm thinking of saying, no, I can't do it. Come on. This actress stars in the upcoming film Victoria and Abdul about the real-life relationship between Queen Victoria and her servant Abdul Karim.
Okay. And they win what?
A Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Okay, very good. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the star of Philomena.
I think I would like to go. I'd like to know if Anthony ever thought of me.
All right, who's that wonderful actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We are back. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play it again.
I think I would like to go. I'd like to know if Anthony ever thought of me.
Oh, I just love that movie, and I love that actress. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Good. Who is that actress that I'm so crazy about?
Is it Judi Dench?
Judi Dench is exactly right. She is so talented. I don't know. I can't say enough about her, but you are the winner. You are the winner, Nancy. You have won a Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It is produced by Carl Amari. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Not sure who that is. It is hosted by Stacey Keach, and they are fantastic. The Twilight Zone series did really great job on those.
Thanks, Lisa.
Great actors, great writing. So we hope that you enjoy that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care.
You're welcome, Nancy. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for winning. All right, you ready for The Shadow? Are you ready for
The Shadow? Knows.
Oh, yeah. I gotta love The Shadow. This was I guess one of the most popular radio series of all time. And it came to radio in the 1930s. By 1937, Orson Welles was starring. He was 22 years old at the time, Lisa. He was starring as Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow. Now, you know that The Shadow had learned the secret of the invisibility. He could cloud your minds. And so Lamont Cranston was like this wealthy young man about town. He went to the Orient, learned this secret to cloud your mind, and he could just render himself invisible to you. So he thought, hey, I'm going to use this to fight crime, and I'll call myself The Shadow because you can't even see me. I'm like a shadow, right? Although you can see the shadow. I mean, so I'm not sure what I would have called myself The Invisible Man. Right?
I think that was taken.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Bill Johnstone then played The Shadow, then John Archer, and then Brett Morrison. And Margot Lane was the only person, except for us listeners, who knew the true identity of Lamont Cranston. It lasted on radio all the way to 1954. We have a 1940 episode for you now from March 24th. This is called The Plot That Failed. It stars Bill Johnstone as Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow.
Character who aids the forces of law and order is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. The Shadow uses his hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the Shadow belongs. Today's story, The Plot That Failed. As our scene opens, we see a big power shovel deep in its self-made pit. The excavation of the cellars and sub-cellars of an apartment building.
Joe, look over. George, look over here.
Well, we'll be through digging this hole by tomorrow.
Yeah, Joe.
Boss tell you where we go next?
No, he didn't say.
Probably be laid off for a while. Hey, Tony, back that truck closer.
I gotta go close.
It's getting hot in here. Luke, check that water in the motor, huh?
Yeah. Well, the water's okay. Hey, something's screwy. The motor's stopped.
Hey, what's the matter?
All the insulation's melting off the wires.
Engine's
white hot.
What's the matter? The dentist, he's falling down.
Luke, get out of there. The controls won't work.
Hey, look out.
I'm scrambling. You better get out yourself. Hurry up.
There goes the derrick. Run! Run before the guys can get aboard! Run!
Margot, all right. Yes, we'll buy the 400 eggs tonight. Yes, we'll hard-boil them. Yes. And then tomorrow morning, we'll put on our long rabbit ears and play Easter Bunny for all the little children you've ever heard of.
Well, Lamont, if you don't want to help me, you don't have to. Shrevey doesn't ever come, we'll never get the eggs done.
Oh, you'll be along. He probably...
Here he comes now with all the speed of a slow-gated snail.
Shrevey, hurry up. Get this cab going.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cranston. The funniest thing I ever seen,
Well, you don't sound sorry.
Oh, Miss Lane, if you'd have seen those two guys hopping around, you'd have died laughing, you'd have died.
What happened?
Well, you see, I was looking in a hall, and down in the hall was this big extraditing machine, and them two fellas was working it. Well, it must have got hot or something because the machine started to melt. Yeah. Oh, it ain't funny. Where do you want to go to?
We're going to get some eggs, Shrevey.
And on the way, we'll stop and see Professor Brown at City
University. Oh, Lamont, that's like saying we're going to Chicago from New York by way of Florida.
Oh, it'll only take a moment,
and it'll only take a moment to get the eggs. And the modern market is right on the way.
Excuse me for sticking my nose in where angels fear the thread, but I could get the eggs I could get while you two was talking to the professor at City University.
Shrevey, you're a genius.
Mr. Cranston, I believe. Come in.
Professor Brown, this is Miss Lane.
How do you do? It's a pleasure. Won't you come in? I'm afraid you'll find my laboratory built for work and not for comfort.
Oh, I think it's delightful.
It's never been called that before. Dr. Paul.
Hello, Brown.
Miss Lane, Mr. Cranston, I'd like to have you meet my assistant, Dr. Paul.
How do you do, Dr. Paul? Miss Lane, won't you sit here?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Paul.
I appreciate your coming here, Mr. Cranston, more than I can tell you. Particularly since my request will probably seem a bit strange. I want you to help me find the Shadow.
The Shadow?
You've heard of him, haven't you?
Yes, of course I've heard of him, but... How did you happen to ask me to help you find him?
I asked Commissioner Weston. He hit on the splendid thought that you might be interested due to your work as an amateur criminologist.
Oh, I see.
We must find the Shadow.
Well, from what I know of that elusive gentleman, that's a man-sized job in itself. You must tell me more of your plan, Professor Brown.
Well, that is certainly a reasonable request, but we'd appreciate it if you'd trust us for the moment and believe us when we tell you that it's of great national importance.
All right, Professor Brown. I'll try to find the Shadow for you.
Oh, want. That's one of the funniest things I ever heard.
Miss Lane, if you don't mind my sticking
yes,
my
I
nose...
Yes, I know where angels fear to tread.
Exactly.
Well, Professor Brown just asked Mr. Cranston to find the shadow by tonight.
Oh, that's a hot one, Mr. Prelitz.
Did you get the eggs, Shrevey?
All the eggs. Yeah, I got them.
Good, Shrevey. Let's get going. Commissioner Weston's office.
Commissioner Weston? Well, when are we going to hard-boil Easter eggs?
We can do that after we've seen the commissioner. There's something funny about this, Margot.
Very funny.
No, but seriously. Either the commissioner is playing a joke on me and the professor, or the professor has never talked to Commissioner Weston. In either case, I want to find out.
We have a ribbon at our destination, Mr. Cranston.
Fine, Shrevey.
Mr. Cranston, when you see Commissioner Weston, would you put in a good word for my bosom friend and companion, Big Charlie? He's in a clink, he is.
Well, not this time, Shrevey. We haven't much time. Don't forget, there are 400 eggs eagerly waiting to be boiled and decorated by Easter morn. You wait here, Margot.
I won't be long.
Lamont, if you're not back here in 10 minutes, Shrevey and I'll come in and boil all 400 eggs right in the commissioner's office.
Commissioner Weston, you know I hate to interrupt you when you're so busy, but this time I just came to thank you.
Thank me, Cranston, for what?
For commending my abilities as an amateur criminologist to Professor Brown of City University.
Now listen, Cranston, I will admit that you've given me a few tips at times that have been a great help. But I never recommended you as a professional or even an amateur criminologist to anybody. Much less Professor... What's his name? At City University.
That's all I wanted to know, Commissioner Weston. Many thanks and good day.
Cranston, what's on your mind? Come back here.
I've got to cook 400 eggs for Easter.
Didn't you get no chance at all to mention Big Charlie, Mr. Cranston?
Your commission was too busy, Shrevey. Maybe we'll have better luck next time.
I'm afraid there won't be no next time, I'm afraid. Because I think Big Charlie's little woman is going to suck him on the head with something when he gets out. She's mad enough now to end up a widow.
Well, that's pretty mad.
Lamont, do you think that Commissioner Weston was fooling you about not recommending you to Professor Brown?
I don't know, Margot.
But you don't suspect Professor Brown and Dr. Forbes of anything wrong, do you?
Well, they're hardly the criminal type. But I still wonder why they want the shadow to help them.
We're at the university we're at.
Very good, Shrevey. Drive Miss Lane home. I'm going in to tell them that I didn't find the shadow. Margot, it's a shame we don't know where the shadow is, as I know that he would like to investigate this right now.
Oh, very well, Lamont. Be careful.
Yeah, don't take no wooden nickels.
All right, Shrevey. And don't you take any rough roads on the way home. Remember those eggs.
I won't.
Yes? Who's there, Professor?
I saw the door open and close.
Oh, so did I.
You're quite right, Dr. Forbes.
Oh, what did you say, Brown?
Professor Brown said nothing. It is the shadow that speaks.
Extraordinary. I wouldn't have believed that complete invisibility was possible unless I'd witnessed the phenomenon.
Yes. Your ability, Shadow, can be most useful to us if you'll assist us in our work.
I should like to know a little about this work before I give you my answer. Just what do you plan to do?
Well, it's perfectly reasonable for you to ask. Brown and I have perfected a device or system for communication or signaling. It can be used either for carrier beams that will give direction to airplanes or ships at sea, or for carrying direct messages.
That's very interesting. But why do you need me?
You are most important.
Recently, we have discovered that some forces not interested in the welfare of this country have learned of our invention. Unfortunately, it must be tested more thoroughly than it has been in the confines of our laboratory before we can offer it to the government.
Just what do you expect the shadow to do?
Well, we hope that the shadow will cooperate. Without being seen, he can place 6 of the machines at various strategic points around the city.
We'll make it well worth your while, Shadow. This device will make us more powerful.
Enough, Brown, please.
Yes.
Well, Shadow, are you interested in joining us in this very worthy experiment?
Very much interested indeed, Dr. Forbes.
Oh, good, good. Well, then I'll explain further. Now, at the 6 strategic points in this city, we've rented rooms and lofts.
The machines are all boxed in plain packing cases, and they're to be left in their wrappings. There are only three things that you must do. First, place the packing case near the window. Second, be sure the side with the circle faces the window. And third, uncoil the wire at the back of the case and plug it into a wall socket. Is that all clear?
Perfectly. Where are the cases?
Well, four of them are here just outside the entrance hall, and two others are now at the buildings on either side of the new excavation on Main Street. Their exact location and that of the six strategic points are on a list that you'll take with you. Give him the list, Brown.
Yes.
Well, good luck, Shadow. Later, you'll see for yourself what this machine can really do.
Thank you, Dr. Forbes. It'll be very interesting to see what this experiment proves. I'm quite anxious to know just how it will make us so powerful.
Shadow. Shadow. Oh, he's gone.
He fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker.
That Shadow guy, he was a shadowy character, wasn't he?
Oh, he is the Shadow.
He was very elusive. He would just come in there.
Do you just want to be him?
That'd be cool.
Do you want to be the Shadow?
Invisible? Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's
to be able to just snap your fingers and you're invisible. Yeah.
Do you have to snap your fingers?
Well, whatever. Press a button, do whatever.
Twitch your nose, whatever
something.
It takes.
And all of a sudden you were invisible? Wow.
I wanted to be Bewitched, so I guess
great.
That's the same thing.
That'd be great.
Similar.
You know? Yeah, Bewitched was great. I wanted to be Major Nelson. That's who I wanted
to be.
Oh, I bet.
You wanted in the past do now?
Well, when I would watch the show, when I would like fake being sick, I'd be like, Ma, I got to stay home today from school. And
so
she'd be like,
do you still want a
really
genie?
Sick? I'm like, yeah, Ma, I'm really sick. And then I would watch I Dream a Genie.
But I'm thinking you'd still enjoy that.
I would love be nice, man. I would love to have a genie like that.
I bet.
Yeah, she was cute. She was very cute.
Barbara Eden? Oh my gosh.
I met her one time.
Really?
Yeah, I met her one time years and years ago.
Nice?
Very nice. Aww. Very, very nice. And she still looked fantastic. Just a beautiful woman. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we're listening to The Shadow, starring Bill Johnstone as Lamont Cranston from 1940. And we will get back to that right after the news. And don't forget, next week, Lisa, Roger, and I, we have already picked out our songs for 1976. So if you want to start kind of getting a jump on what our songs might be, you can look at 1976, Google it, and think about your song's good, Lisa. I like your song
from
1976.
Thank you for your approval.
It's like about a six.
That's it, huh?
About a six. Rogers, I'm trying to think what Rogers was again.
I can't say.
Hang on
so.
A second, I got it right here.
You said I'm not sure you were familiar with that.
My
one.
Song's a 10.
Oh, of course.
Okay, let me see. Rogers. Oh, I don't even know the song. I don't even know the song. Never
yeah,
even heard of it.
I don't want to say anything about
it. So Rogers' song, and I know what I can't say, but so I don't even.
I
know,
don't think
I don't
you'll
even
like
know
it.
This song.
I don't think you'll like it. It's
so
not your song.
I'm going to give it a 0.5.
Okay,
so it doesn't even get a 1.
Okay.
And then Lisa's yours is it's good. I
have a special memory with that song.
5.25.
That's it.
And then mine's
you're crazy.
And mine's a 14 on a 1 to 10.
Yeah, of course.
Because mine
it is a good song.
Yeah, it's my favorite
some great
song
stuff
of all
this
time.
Year.
So yeah, you win some Twilight Zone CDs. And, you know, next week when we come back here, we have Philco Radio Time with Bing Crosby, variety musical show. That's going to be fun. And then Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. And then Gunsmoke with William Conrad. Then you know what we have for Sunday?
I sure do. We've got The Saint.
You know who stars as The Saint? Vincent Price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And The Life of Riley.
Who was the star of that?
William Bendix. I have that information
okay.
here and suspense.
I don't know who stars in that, but anyway. So that's next week. We'll be back here. We'll be back here next Saturday and Sunday, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, I was at a barbecue today, Lisa.
Really?
Eating a lot of good food.
Great.
At my friend
like
Thomas
fun.
And Lisa's house. They invited
good.
Me for a barbecue. And it was spectacular barbecue. I'll
really?
Tell you that right now. Yeah. And I
invited you for a
and
barbecue.
I had my WGN.
Wait a minute. Did
what?
I not invite you for a barbecue
yeah,
at my house?
I couldn't make it.
No, you were there.
I had to do my toenails.
No,
I was at it. Oh yeah,
not
that's right.
Yes, not today. You
didn't invite me to a barbecue today.
Not today, but in the past,
yes,
you were king.
It was great.
Was it not spectacular?
Fantastic.
All right then.
You have the best carryout places around
no,
you.
No, I barbecued.
I know. I'm only kidding. That was a fantastic. Well, that burger was something else.
I did that for you
on your Weber grill. So anyway, I had my WGN Radio Theater shirt.
Sure.
On.
Which color?
The navy blue, the dark blue.
Okay.
And people were like, "Oh, you're on WGN." You know, I was like, "Yeah, I'm on WGN," and you know, sort of like, "Yeah,
I
have my own show on WGN." No, I didn't say it like that. But anyway, people were like, "Wow, cool!" And they may be listening tonight because I was able to
and they might not be able
to plug the a couple of people were like, "Do you have a podcast?" Because that's pretty late. And yes, we do. We have a podcast for this show. But yeah, I think I picked us up a couple more listeners.
Good.
Being at the always know. Working. Always
right.
working to
good.
Pick up listeners.
I
for
don't
this
know
show,
what I would so. Do without that.
All right.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. And thank you, Bill Curtis.
WGN Radio and WGN TV have partnered with the American Red Cross to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. Text Harvey to 90999 to donate $10 or go to redcross.org to donate more.
All right, we're listening to The Shadow. Let's go back to March 24th, 1940. For the plot that failed, here's Bill Johnstone as The Shadow.
It is several hours later. We find a very tired and footsore Lamont Cranston struggling off the elevator of an apartment building with two heavy bundles, one under each arm. He goes down the hall.
Oh, come in, Lamont.
Margaret.
Where have you been? What have you been doing? What are those things?
Oh, one at a time, Margaret. Let me put these things down. There. Now to answer your questions. I've been all over the city carrying packing cases up and downstairs.
Oh, you poor dear.
Yes, next time two scientific gentlemen have some freight to be hauled, they can call on the express company. But what have you been doing?
Oh, I've nearly been going crazy. Did you ever try to boil 400 eggs in a wash boiler all at once? I don't think it can be done.
There's one thing I wish you could do.
What?
Make me some coffee.
Oh, sure.
I've got work to do, and I'm afraid I'll go to sleep.
All right, I'll make some right away.
Margot, where's that big city map of yours?
Oh, in the top drawer of my desk.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I got it. Let me see. Right there. Oh, I'm a stupid fool.
What'd you say, Lamont?
Oh, I've been an idiot, Margot, a blind idiot.
What is it?
Look at this map.
Mm-hmm.
See these six places that I marked?
Yes. Yeah.
That's where I put the machines tonight. You notice anything unusual about their location?
Well, they're in three different parts of town.
Yes, but if you look more closely, you'll notice that they're grouped in pairs. One machine of each pair is placed on either side of an important key point. Police headquarters, telephone building, a powerhouse.
Well, Lamont, you haven't told me yet what these machines are, what they do.
For a very good reason. I don't know.
Well, what are those two packages you brought in?
Well, they're a pair of the machines.
I thought you distributed them all.
I'm afraid that our friends at the City University are going to be a little upset when they find bricks and scrap iron in one pair of the cases.
Well, what are you going to do with the machines that you have here?
Well, first, we'll set them opposite each other. Each side of the room.
Lamont Cranston, don't you plug those machines in until you find out what they do.
I brought them here so I could examine them more closely. Margaret, will you take the paper off that one while I take it off this one?
Yes, all right. Look, Lamont.
Huh?
It's something like a cross between an X-ray and a television outfit. It looks innocent enough. Lamont, you may be doing those two men a great injustice.
You may be right, Margaret.
Well, Brown, is everything in order? Did you check all the machines?
Yes, Dr. Forbes. The Shadow has been a good and efficient assistant. The machines are all in place and working. Now the only thing to do is to wait.
Good. You know, it's a shame that we have to destroy the Shadow. He could be most useful, but It's too dangerous to allow him to live to learn the true purpose of my machine.
Your machine?
Yes, mine.
But I invented it.
Yes. Unlike so many inventors, you were too stupid to realize its true potentialities. Without me, you'd still be nothing. Now you stand on the threshold of a new life.
A new life? But what is our first step after tonight?
You don't have to worry about that. Oh, but come, there are a couple of things yet to be done. Are the two extra machines set up in the room behind the laboratory?
Yes, they are. And the control panel is in order, right by the door.
Have you tested it?
Oh, yes, of course.
All right. Now, the next thing to do is for you to call Lamont Cranston and his friend Miss Lane on the phone and have them over here a few minutes before midnight.
What for?
Oh, just to thank them for finding the shadow for me and perhaps reward them with a demonstration of the machine. I'm sure they'd be interested.
Dr. Forbes, are you planning to destroy them, too?
They know too much.
They know nothing.
I can take no chances.
But that's murder. Murder, I tell you.
You're right, Professor Brown. You know, sometimes I get so carried away with the importance of our invention that I lose all perspective. I'm sorry.
Oh, forget it, Doctor. I'm afraid I was upset, too.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, by the way, Professor, would you get me my heavy rubber gloves? I want to check our new high-tension insulators.
Oh, surely. Where are they?
They're in the room back of the laboratory.
I'll get them.
I don't see your gloves back here. But Dr. Forbes, get away from that control panel. Don't touch that switch. You fiend! You fiend! Don't!
Ah! Exit, Dr. Brown. Completely.
Hello? Yes? This is Margot Lane. Who is this? Who? Oh, Dr. Forbes. Yes, Doctor. How are you? Mr. Cranston is there, and he's had an accident. Yes, certainly, Doctor. I'll hurry right over. Oh, Lamont. This is getting less and less funny.
What was that all about, Margot?
Dr. Forbes informs me that you are at Professor Brown's laboratory and have met with an accident.
What?
What shall I do?
Let me use your phone.
Who are you calling?
I'm calling my apartment house. Hello? And this is Mr. Cranston. Have any phone calls come in for me in the last few minutes? Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, just as I suspected. Dr. Forbes just called me. Hello? Dr. Forbes? This is Lamont Cranston. I was in the shower and thought I heard the phone ring. The man at the desk told me you'd called. What's that? Margot Lane? Is it serious? I'll be there as soon as I can. Well, Margot, we're in for something and I don't know what it is. But whatever danger is ahead of us, at least we have the advantage of going into it with our eyes open.
Mr. Cranston.
Well, we want to go to the City University, Shrevey.
Yes, sir.
Margot, I can't make
head
or tails out of it. Shrevey, for heaven's sake, don't make all that noise, please.
Well, golly, Mr. Cranston, I was only trying to cheer things up. I was only...
Well, don't.
You should ought to spend more time getting a laugh out of life. Well, like I did today, when you said she was trying to find the shadow. Or when them two guys jumped off the extradite machine when it melted.
What do you mean, melted?
Just like I say, if something melts, it melts.
Where was the excavation, Shrevey?
Over on Main Street.
Margo, I've got it.
What?
That's the answer. Shrevey, thank you. Thank you 1,000 times.
Oh, that's okay. What are you thanking me for?
You gave me the right track on a great invention.
Oh, yeah, them steam shovels are certainly great.
Stop the car, Shrevey. I'm getting out here.
Well, Lamont, I thought we were going to call on Professor Brown and Dr. Forbes.
Listen, Margo, this is much more serious than I thought. You must go to Professor Brown's lab alone. Your job is to keep them there.
All right, Lamont. What are you going to do?
I must go and disconnect those machines before the entire city is demolished.
Oh, Miss Lane.
Oh, I hurried as fast as I could, Dr. Forbes.
Is Mr. Cranston all right?
Oh, it's nothing serious. Come with me. He's in the room in back of the laboratory.
Oh, I do hope he's all right.
Right in here. Sit down there, Miss Lane.
What is the meaning of this?
Sit down, Miss Lane. I'm sorry to have to do this, but I feel that you'd be less bothersome to me if I tie you to this chair.
Stop it!
This room is completely soundproof, so you can make all the noise you wish.
Oh, let go of me. Where is Mr. Cranston?
I guess you're securely tied. I hope none of the ropes cut you, but they won't hurt long.
What are you going to do to me?
Much as I deplore the necessity, Miss Lane, you must be destroyed. You see, you've inadvertently run into something a little bigger than you are. A simple plot that can't fail. I, one man alone, will know the secret of the gradual but complete demoralization of this whole country and eventually our whole civilization.
You alone? What about Professor Brown?
I'm sorry to say, Miss Lane, that he outlived his usefulness. Professor Brown is no longer associated with me. For that matter, he's no longer associated with this world. Rather amusing. I wonder what's keeping Cranston. He should be here. Perhaps it would entertain you, Miss Lane, if I were to tell you about my invention.
You're the most cold-blooded fiend I've ever heard of in my life.
Strangely enough, that's a compliment. Thank you. But now to my invention.
Yes. Tell me about it.
Well, the simplest explanation is that it's a machine which generates invisible rays. But when two of these machines are placed opposite each other, unbelievable heat occurs at the point where the rays meet. Interesting, isn't it?
But, Dr. Forbes, why must you destroy and kill? Why don't you put this great invention to some good use?
Well, my dear Miss Lane, that depends entirely on one's point of view. Now I must show you exactly how this invention works. Directly in front of you is one of the machines in that packing case. Behind you is another one. Here by the door is a control panel. When I pull this lever, in less than 5 seconds, you will completely disappear. You will be dead. Gone. Interesting, isn't it? Well, Miss Lane, I'm sorry. I can't wait any longer. I'll deal with Mr. Cranston separately. But you are going to die now.
Don't touch that control panel, Dr. Forbes.
Shadow.
Tonight, Dr. Forbes, instead of destroying the three strategic points in this city, the machines that would have caused this damage have been destroyed. And you, Dr. Forbes, will be giving another lecture on your machine, but this time to the police.
You're wrong, Shadow. The police will never know. There are three people in the world that know anything about my invention, and all three of us are in this room. None of us are going to leave this room alive. Amusing, isn't it? Shadow, no matter what you say, I'm going to destroy us all now. The lights. The current is off. Shadow, you threw that main switch on the wall. Shadow, I know where you are, and I'm going to shoot you.
I'm afraid you didn't know where I was, Doctor. You can never harm the Shadow by shooting at his voice. His voice can come from anywhere. Amusing, isn't it? It'll do no good, Forbes.
I have one shot left, Shadow. I saved it for myself.
Shadow, turn on the lights. I never expected to see lights again.
Margot, he's dead. The rest of this case is for the police.
Lamont, I hate to bother you, but you'll have to untie these knots.
Oh, Margot, what a terrible experience for you. How do you feel?
If I were shaking anymore, I'd fall apart.
That's too bad.
Now, what's the matter?
I'll see.
Wait a minute, I'll go with you. I don't want to be here alone. Shreve!
I hope you shall excuse me for busting in the door, but I'm scared, Miss Lane. It's about them eggs.
The eggs?
Yeah, the eggs. You see, I thought it would be a nice surprise if I went to your place and cooked the eggs. So I put the wash boiler full of eggs on the living room floor on a hot plate, and then I thought I'd amuse myself by turning on one of them new television sets it looks like you got in your apartment.
Shrevey, you didn't try them, did you?
Yeah, I turned the switch on one of them and nothing happened, so I tried the other one. I just threw the switch on and off quick-like. Miss Lane, I don't know what happened. I can't find the wash boiler. But Miss Lane... Right in the middle of your rug, you got 400 of the nicest scrambled eggs you ever saw.
Today's program is based on a story copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. The Shadow Magazine is on sale at your local newsstand.
bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
There you have it. The Shadow, March 24th, 1940, with The Plot That Failed, starring Bill Johnstone along with Marjorie Anderson and Everett Sloan and Kenny Delmar and Alan Reed. Alan Reed, of course, the voice of Fred Flintstone. He was a Shrevey on that program, originally sponsored by Blue Coal, as heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System.